Thankful this morning that we can put our trust in Jesus. And our trust is not in our own strength. It's not in our own righteousness. It's not in our own last name or education or IQ or lack thereof. Our trust is in the Lord. And He is able to do all things. Brother Rain says, grace, or Sister Tam, which His grace is sufficient. And it is there His grace will meet every single test that we face in life. And I am thankful that we can all have a life of victory this morning. As we begin this series of messages, which I will freely acknowledge, I didn't know it was going to be a series. You all didn't know this could all be packed into one service either, and it wasn't. And as we've gone along, the Lord had just added, and I will say I was so inspired as I was studying this week, and I learned some things. It was very stimulating to me spiritually. I learned some things out of the Word this week that I didn't understand as clearly before. And I don't know that we're going to even get there this morning. But we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday morning. But I want to say this before going, I don't want to give the devil too much credit. But I want us to recognize who he is, and I want us to know how he works, and we could be here for the whole year talking about some of those things. But you just feel like we're kind of touching on some of those things. But with all that can be said about the devil, I read the back of the book, and we won. Isn't that wonderful this morning? We can come and sometimes we get so burdened down and tired of the enemy working. It can be frustrating. I mean, I don't want to say carnal about it, but spiritually frustrated at the devil at times. Well, do you know this morning that there is a place of victory that we can have in Jesus Christ? The Scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So as we are looking into the devil this morning, come back this afternoon, if you will. Come back next Sunday. I don't know how far we're going to get. But understand, the end result of all of this is that there's a place of victory that we can have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Over in John in the 8th chapter, begin reading with verse 44. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. And he was teaching, and Jesus said in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. What they were saying was not from the Lord. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And Jesus told us some about the devil now. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. In other words, he was involved in taking people's life. You know, nothing has changed about the devil this morning. He is still interested. The Scripture says he came to kill, still kill, and to destroy. He will try to steal from you everything that is good. He will try to destroy every good thing that God is doing in our life. And he ultimately is trying to kill us spiritually. That's his job, remember now. That's the job description of the devil. It's what he's about. And Jesus said here that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, Lord, help us this morning to recognize now, he's talking a little bit about the attitude or attributes, if you will, of the enemy, of our soul. Now, on the board here, we started off with the accuser. And if I would have known it was a series, I would have wrote the adversary for that first message, to be honest with you. The adversary, the accuser, the tempter, you know he's also a liar? The devil, and I know I touched on it last Sunday, but the devil is a liar. A liar is someone that does not tell the truth. So when we are tempted, and the devil paints this pretty picture of pleasure in this picture of, you know what, this is better than what you have, remember this. The adversary, Satan, the tempter, the devil who is an accuser, is a liar. Amen? The truth is not in him this morning. In young people and children, revelation, the devil is not your friend. How many people are trying to befriend the devil this morning? Out in the world, the devil tries to be friendly. The devil does not always appear with a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head. He will come in trying to act like your friend, but when anybody or anything tries to teach us contrary to what the Bible teaches, I want us to know there's a power of the enemy behind that thing. And he is not your friend. He's a liar. And when the devil speaks, and you know this isn't the Lord, recognize the devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and the worst liar is one that incorporates some things that are accurate in his statements. Right? I would much rather just tell my children, if they're listening to someone say, this person is not saved, what they say, you just know it's not from the Lord. Okay, clear, black and white. But the devil likes to work in the grays this morning. Saints, be careful about living in the gray areas. There is a gray zone that too many people are living in this morning. And the gray zones are those places of a little bit obscurity that you can't tell me I'm unsaved if I do those things. But it's not just real clearly holiness and purity before the Lord. All right, now, the enemy works in the gray areas. And understand, the enemy is a liar, and when the enemy comes along, it says, it doesn't matter. We need to stop and say, now, is this the Spirit of the Lord telling me it doesn't matter, or is this another power at work? And if we begin to understand the voice of the enemy, we will understand the things that the enemy is propagating and pushing in this generation. We need to understand the voice of the Lord, but we also need to recognize when it's the enemy, and we need to just flat out recognize this is the enemy at work here. Folks, be careful of the gray areas. Be careful. Know where the enemy is working. The enemy has an agenda this morning. He has an agenda. He is a liar. He told Eve a partial truth. And he did it by asking questions. Remember, I think, even the last two Sundays we mentioned this, but there is more power in a question than there is in a statement. A rhetorical question. Someone asks you and says, what do you think about such and such? And all that person is wanting is an opportunity to tell you what they think. They're just tuned out of what you say and you ask the question. Don't ask a question if you don't want the answer. And so they ask this rhetorical question. That's how the devil works. He comes and says, do you really think that that's wrong? The devil's a liar. Why is he asking you that? Remember last Sunday, and I know some of you all weren't here, but the enemy came to Jesus and he said, if you are the Son of God. Why didn't he just say, well, you're not the Son of God, or you're the Son of God? No, he wanted to put just a little doubt in there. Make it conditional. If you're really saved. Has the devil ever done that to you? If you're really saved. What do you mean if I'm really saved? That's the devil. I'm not going to get in a conversation with him. The thing we can start doing is rebuking him. There was a brother in California. He was driving down the road. Might have been Brother Trimble. He was driving down the road and the devil was just battling and battling. And finally he just pulled off the highway, pulled off the interstate, opened up the passenger door and said, out. Shut the door and went on his way. You know, that's what we need to do with the enemy this morning. He's a liar. How much time do we waste this morning talking to the liar? What do we expect to gain? He's a liar. I know what his motivations are. He's not my friend. He's going to do everything he can to undermine and destroy and rob from you your faith and your spiritual integrity. It's what the enemy's about. It's his business. So why do we waste so much time sometimes entertaining the devil? I know he's my enemy. I have a word for him this morning. Out. Amen? We need to not wait. Eve, that was Eve's problem. She got in too much of it. She began to discuss with the enemy. Well, now, this is what the Lord said. Well, when the devil came along, and you know the devil quotes Scripture. He knows the Bible better than we do. He knows what it says. And when he came quoting Scripture to Jesus, Jesus knew the Scripture also. And he responded with the Scripture. I'm not going to argue with the devil. I don't want to waste my time rationalizing with a person that has ulterior motives. I might have mentioned Wednesday night that got an email from someone and they asked me a question and I could tell by the question, I don't know who they were. Someone from California and I don't know even if they're amongst the saints. But they ask a question and on the surface it looked like a simple question, but I thought, why would you ask such a simple question like that? And I didn't ask him that, but I just looked at the email and I thought, they have an agenda. I don't know what it is, but they've got an agenda. So I went ahead and answered their question in simplicity with simple question. And they wrote back again and I looked at it and thought, mm-mm. They didn't accept the simple answer. It was just a very basic, simple question. I thought, there's an agenda. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to respond to that because I know they have something in their mind and they're wanting to get something started. It's not worth it to enter into the devil when he comes along and says, well, if, or he asks his questions. No, the devil's a liar. I know why he's doing it. He's doing it to undermine your confidence in other saints. He's doing it to undermine your confidence in your own experience. He's doing it to undermine the simplicity of faith that we are to have in the Word of God. So when the devil comes to do it, all right, that's the devil. Out. End of discussion. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Lord, but when I recognize the enemy for what it is, he's a liar. He's a murderer. End of discussion. Over in the 12th chapter of Matthew, you know, as we turn there, the enemy is the originator of all that is false and wrong. As God is the spiritual, I told them in the young people's meeting this morning, in the Sunday school this morning, God is the spiritual embodiment, if you will, of all that is good and right. Light and love and goodness and mercy and love for us in our life. But the enemy is a spiritual embodiment of everything that is contrary. And I know that's an oxymoron, the spiritual embodiment. But I understand this morning that the enemy then is the again, that spiritual embodiment, if you will, of all that is wrong. All of the forces of evil, he has an agenda, and the Lord, as God knows his plans for us this morning, the enemy has a plan as well. And it's been mentioned, you know, God has an expected end. Well, the devil has an expected end as well for us, but there's one that's greater than that. But I want to recognize when the accuser, now remember what devil means. Devil is the accuser. That's what it means. Satan means the adversary. So when the adversary, Satan, when the devil, the accuser, when the tempter, when the liar, when the murderer, when the thief comes, I'm going to recognize him for who he is, and I'm going to know how to start fighting my battle. I want to know how to fight the enemy this morning. So over in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in the 24th verse, Jesus had cast out a devil, a spirit. Now keep in mind again, and this is, remember that we learn from repetition. So if you say, Brother Michael, you said that 2 weeks ago, I just want to remind us that the Scripture, again, when the word devil is used, one of the commentators brought out how it is only used in a singular form in the Scripture. Okay? It is the recognition of the chief or the prince of devils, the prince of demons, that chief force that is working, that is Satan, that is the devil. And when it talks about devils in the plurality, the Greek word is demons. Now, just as God has angels, the devil also has demons or angels of evil. That he has forces of evil that are at work in this world. And so they came to Jesus, or Jesus was speaking, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in verse 44, In the 24th verse, it said, when the Pharisees heard it, that he had cast out a devil. It said, the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Now, Beelzebub is the prince of devils. Now, who is this Beelzebub? Well, he's the accuser. He's the adversary. And here it's drawing from the Old Testament, Beelzebub was, and it's referred to in 2 Kings as well, that it was the god of Ekron, which was the god of the flies. Now, in that country, there were lots of flies. And so they called him Beelzebub. He's the god of the flies, and I can understand. But he began, especially among the Jews, began to represent the devil, or the chief evil god. Okay? The chief evil spirit in the world. And that was Beelzebub. Well, the word means god of the flies. But interestingly enough, in the Aramaic, the word Beelzebub, he said, should be translated Beelzebul. It was a little bit of a twist that they put on that name, which means god of the dung. Now, we are going from god of the flies, and what are flies attracted to? The god of the dung. Do you know that that is what the devil, and that's a name that was given to Satan, to the enemy, is Beelzebub or Beelzebul. He's the god of dung. Young people, why are we going to listen to the god of the dung? He is the god of all that is evil, all that is wrong, all of his designs that he has on all of us. It's not going to bring us to a good end. So this is Beelzebub. In all idolatry, and take note, that in the New Testament and in the Old, all idolatry was referred to as devil worship. Now, what does that tell us in this generation? All idol worship. Now, remember, the enemy's pretty smart fella. Pretty smart fella. And we can sit here today and look at the golden calf and say, well, that's idolatry. That is the worship of devils. When you worship an idol, you are worshiping the devil. It's one of his agents. It's one of his forms. Understand? But in our day and age, many people, some of them are going back to idol worship. There's a resurgent of paganism in this world. But I will also freely acknowledge that it does not always take the form of the golden calf. Worship is about what you give your heart to. It's where your time and your energy and your money and your devotion, it's what it's directed to. That's what worship is. Something that has a controlling influence on you, that you have given your devotion to that thing, that is an idol. So now, I don't know if we'll start getting uncomfortable if we start talking about idols of our time. But worship of idols is devil worship, saints. I don't want to live in the gray areas. There are things that our world is exalting. It is controlling them in the sports world, in the entertainment world, in the fashion world, in all of those areas. There are gods out there that are at work. And if we allow those things to move us and form our decisions based on those things, I want us just to know the scripture talks about that kind of worship. It's devil worship. Because it's a devotion that was supposed to be given exclusively to the Lord God. That, Lord, I want to live in holiness and I want to follow you. But we find that many people are bowing down at the altar of devils this morning, and their money and their energy and their devotion is to the things of this world. And yes, things, because the devil uses things this morning. He uses them. And the devil, when he comes along and says, it doesn't matter. We need to take a step back and say, how is it affecting my walk with God? How is it affecting my spirit? The music industry. All music is not wrong. And it doesn't mean that everything is wrong that's not in the Evening Light hymn book. Understand me now. But there is, the enemy has used music as a strong influence contrary to the principles of biblical holiness. And it becomes an idol to people. They are moved by it. They are swayed by it. And what we feed on this morning is what we become. The mindset, the attitude. And someone says, well, the words aren't bad. Do you know that we are moved by the very music of things? It's soul talk. That's what music is. It gets down deeper than the surface. And you know as well as I, that's why they talk about the Air Force pilots when they were bombing in Desert Storm. What kind of music did they listen to? Anybody know? It was heavy metal. And they weren't supposed to, but I don't think they cracked down on it because they were trying to get themselves worked up to have the ability to go out there and drop bombs on people and things. And so they would get themselves in the spirit by listening to heavy metal rock music. We can't sit back and be naive and say, well, those things don't matter. They matter this morning. And I don't want to bow down to the God of dung. You understand? Remember an example I gave the children a few months ago? Someone made some brownies. And you just put just a little bit of, well, we'll just say, just put a little bit of that dung in it. And say, these are mostly chocolate and sugar and butter and, they're good. I just put a little bit of dung in it. Who wants those brownies? I actually made brownies up here. I think I used some cat stuff though. But do you realize who would want to eat that? Do you realize this is what the enemy, as a liar, as an adversary, is trying to do in our lives? He's trying to come on and make us eat of something that we can say that it's not all bad. How are you going to separate the good from the bad when it's been cooked together? We are influenceable creatures this morning. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to withstand the power of the enemy. It's the only way I'm going to make it, but I know he's a liar. So when old Beelzebub comes with his accusations, recognize him for who he is. When he comes along with temptation, say, I'm not going to eat of that dish. Someone says, well, it's not all bad. You just watch and see what happens. I've heard this one over and over and over. People that have taken even the standards and principles of holiness among God's people, and they say, you don't have to live that way. You're just holding it a little too straight. You don't have to do that. It's the heart that matters. But what is the gateway to the heart? It's our senses. It's our senses is the gateway to the heart. And if I begin to imbibe in something, it's going to work down in my heart. And you see what happens when people go down that path. It doesn't take very long to see them far from very clear principles of the Word of God. It doesn't always happen overnight. Folks, let's beware of who we're dealing with this morning. When you are doing business with a liar, you can't trust them. Even if they tell you the truth, if they lie 90% of the time, I can't trust the thing they say. I never know if it's true or not. The devil is a liar this morning. So he can just take that this morning. And he can just get out when he comes. Recognize that's his job. That's what he's doing. But let's see him for who he is this morning. And so old Beelzebub, the prince of devils, the god of flies which turn into the god of the dung, that's who we're talking about this morning. Not real attractive, is it? Recognize this one that tries to look. We talked about Hollywood, just it was mentioned this morning with the young people. But Hollywood and what they try to present is so attractive, and it makes it look so good. Sin so enticing, and it feels good, and you have such a good time. Oh, if you could just see the God of the dung. See what happens. Look at the consequences. Look at the result of that. It doesn't bring unity. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring love. If the enemy brings division, he brings strife, he brings heartache, and in the end, he brings eternal death. So Lord, help us this morning in our decisions and our choices. All right, that's the God of the dung there. That's old Beelzebub. He's tempting. He's my adversary. He's not my friend. He's opposing me. I don't want to fall into modern day devil worship. Modern day devil worship, folks, there's a resurgence of it. It was prophesied in the Scripture. Lord, help us. You may need to keep, we may stay on this for longer than what I thought. Would you turn with me to the book of Zechariah? In the book of Zechariah, in the third chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 1. And it said, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 3. Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan, the adversary, standing at his right hand to resist him. Now remember where we started a couple weeks ago with the enemy, Satan, standing before God, accusing Job. Now we're back to the accuser. We find here that Joshua represents the Jewish people. He represented the Jewish people. They had come out of Babylon. Keep in mind, this is the prophet Zechariah that was writing. They had come out of Babylon, and God was wanting to restore the temple. He was wanting to have Jerusalem rebuilt, and he was wanting to reinstate the worship of the true God of Israel. And so now we have this picture of the enemy standing before God, the angel, or Satan standing before the angel of the Lord, to resist him. Now we're going to revisit this, but we're not going to get there this morning. The angel of the Lord that this speaks of is Christ himself. It's a wonderful subject, and it's inspiring, so we'll come back to this another time. But just for now, let's focus on Satan for a moment. He stood before the angel of the Lord, before God, to resist Joshua. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, the Lord said, the Lord rebuke thee. Okay? O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. But you read on down, and you will find that the Lord made a promise. I plucked thee with all your filthy garments. I plucked thee out of the fire, and I'm going to restore true worship to God. But understand, the enemy was there to resist and contest. Now, this is the accuser in full form. He was there resisting, saying, they're not worthy to worship you, Father God. They're not worthy. Look at his filthy garments. They're not worthy to rebuild the temple. They're not worthy to be called your people anymore, because the devil knew that out of them that Christ would be born from the Jewish people. He knew that a branch would go forth from them. And so the enemy was contesting or accusing them, saying, they're not worthy. And the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. You know, the enemy's doing the same thing today. He was contesting the restoration of the Jewish people and Jewish worship there. But the enemy this morning is going to contest every good thing in your life. Have you ever gotten some help from the Lord and you felt like you really had a victory, that God did something for me? Do you know, many times it doesn't even wait till the next day. Sometimes he'll wait till the next morning, you know, just a new day, and come along and said, you didn't get anything from God. Is that the Lord speaking? Sounds like Beelzebub to me. Sounds like the accuser. Sounds like a liar to me, because I know God did something for me yesterday. I know He gave me grace. I know He did something in my heart that I couldn't do for myself. Folks, the enemy is still standing up accusing God's people. Accusing them. Contesting. He is going to fight your experience with God. He stood up here contesting Joshua, the high priest, contesting him to the Father, and the devil is going to do that in your life as well. Every good thing that God does, the devil's going to be there trying to say, who do you think you are? Has the devil ever asked you that? You think that the Lord asks us that question? When you're in a situation or something, you're wanting to do what's right, and you hear this voice saying, who do you think you are? You're saying that you're living a holy life. Who is that? This talks that way. Beelzebub. He's a liar. He accuses. He wants to undermine our faith in what God has done in our life. He wants to make us think we don't have anything. You'll excuse me for repeating myself, but I mentioned last Sunday that someone had called and they had a problem, a question. I gave them a scripture and gave them what the Word of God says and told them something. I hung up the phone, and the devil just came along. And if you'll allow me to use the word, he said, you're stupid. That's what he told me. He said, that's so foolish. You really believe that? And he went, yes, I believe this morning. I believe the Word of God. And I believe when it says, this is the way, walk ye in it, I believe that is going to get us to that place that the Lord wants us. But it's the devil's job to come along and try to make us start questioning, well, is this really the case? Yes, it is the case. This is God's Word, and it worked for me, it worked for my parents, and it's going to work for you if we'll follow it like it tells us to. I believe this morning, but it's the devil that's going to contest that. It is the devil that's going to contest the job that the God has for you. There, God has a gift for each and every one of you this morning. The Lord has a place in the body of Christ for all of us today. But the enemy does not want God's people to be doing their job. He's going to oppose it. He's going to make everybody feel like, who do you think you are? I'm nobody. I guess we'll all go to the corner because we're all nobodies. Who's going to do the work of God? Who is it that's telling us that? It's the devil. We are nobody except Christ be in us. But if Christ is in us, then by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when the Lord has given a gift, then I don't want to bow down to the God of dung and give in to what He's saying, but Lord, help me to follow Your Spirit. He will contest, He will fight you singing. He will contest you Sunday school teachers. He will contest the ministry. He will contest all of us, those that have a gift of help, those that have the ability to encourage. The devil will contest that. You really think, who are you? You really have the ability to do that. Is not this how the enemy works? Out. And that's easier said than done. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, the devil is there to fight all of these things. The devil is going to fight in your homes. He's going to fight in homes. It seems like that the enemy is working as almost never before. The world has accepted. The world has accepted things in marriage that never belonged in marriage. So now they say marriage isn't important anymore. Do what you want, live how you want, and it doesn't matter. Just do what feels good to yourself for the moment. Folks, the end result of that is heartache. The end result of that is heartache. But He said He's going to fight marriages. He's going to fight. I've had people that have good marriages. People that have good marriages have told me the devil is fighting our marriage. That's what the enemy does. He wants to destroy good things this morning. So we need to recognize when there are problems and when there are difficulties. Let's not accuse one another now, but let's recognize we've got a foe we're fighting. Fight him together. Get together in unity and say we're not going to blame this or that, but we've got a foe. We've got an enemy. We've got an accuser that will try to get us to cause to look at each other because he fights every good thing. The devil fights the unity of God's people. He is an accuser. One of the commentators brought out, he said that the accuser, he especially focuses on the ministry. If you study out history, he focuses on the ministry trying to accuse many times through people to try to undermine their influence and ability to preach the Word of God. And it's happened. You can just look through history. The enemy is real this morning. I don't want to be used as an agent to cast dispersion or suspicion on God's ministers and on those who are doing the work of the Lord. And he's going to become as an accuser to all of us. Has he ever accused you? You don't have to raise your hand. Has he ever accused you of being a hypocrite? Has the enemy ever accused you? You did something, you were trying to do what was right, and he comes along and he casts dispersions on your motivations. Well, you did it for this. Out. That's the job of the enemy. He tries to take whatever you do and tries to twist it to make you not have confidence in what God is doing in your life. This is where the enemy works. The devil is there to bring confusion. He is there to cause questions. He is there to disturb your peace. When the Lord comes and speaks, He comes to lift up. He comes to restore. He comes and He reproves and He corrects and it hurts. But He gives us a way to grow. He gives us a way out. He gives us a way that if the Lord comes and says, Michael, you shouldn't have done that. And I say, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord says, now this is what you want to do. I forgive you. And he helps kind of brush you off there and get you on the right path again. Thank you, Lord. But when it's the devil, he'll come to just try to press you down. And he'll try to stomp you down. No. Let's recognize the enemy for what he is. It is miserable for people to live under accusation of the enemy. It's a miserable place until they cannot begin to separate reality from their perceptions because of the spirit of accusation. I think we will end there and pick up later. I appreciate your interest this morning. I am thankful today that we have a God that came to destroy the work of the devil. Where the enemy is working this morning in congregations, in families, in homes, in our personal lives, there is a power that is greater than all the power of the enemy. If we will just plead the blood of Jesus and call on His name, we have authority over the enemy this morning, and I thank God for it. Amen.